This morning, in our lesson about flattery or false praise, we were in a passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I came across the word gentle, and I said, oh, that'll be in our lesson this evening also. And we do want to talk this evening about the fact that we are to be gentle as the Lord's servants. Preachers, teachers not only in the church, but teachers in the school systems, friends, elders, and others, spend much time helping to get two or more people back together after they have created problems, usually with their communication. I wonder, has this happened? You don't have to answer. Has this happened to any of you? And if it has not happened to you, then perhaps you're living in a different environment, totally unlike what I've experienced in my life, or I don't know, maybe you've closed your eyes to some of these things, but it seems like it happens to everyone, is the point I'm making in that long roundabout way there. And I think to make this closer to home, have you ever been at odds with someone? Have you known of divisions in local congregations over differences that have not been solved among the saints and have not been solved quickly? I know of one small town in central southern Illinois that's had two congregations, and it's like the Hatfields and McCoys, especially from the standpoint of I don't think either one of them know anymore what the problem was originally. This happens. Several times in the scriptures we are shown that we should do what we do gently or with meekness. And you'll see those two words in different translations sometimes. I have an example or two as we go through the lesson. But in this lesson, we want to consider the way we ought to teach and preach and deal with others in gentleness. And the first thing again this evening I'll do is go to a Webster definition on gentle. Mild, meek, soft, bland, not rough, harsh, or severe. As a gentle nature, temper or disposition, a gentle manner, a gentle address, a gentle voice. And in the definition was 1 Thessalonians 2:7, which we'll get to in just a moment, first verse we'll look at. It is also, and it says four, because there were other definitions there, I didn't have room for all of them. I picked that which seemed most applicable to this lesson. Number four was treating with mildness, not violent. I have known, and off the top of my head, I'm just thinking of three or four perhaps. I have known of brothers or sisters who have not handled things in this way. I know one lady in particular at a congregation came and visited, and someone got up, and when she came in, someone who he thought he was being friendly and so on, while he was talking to her, he said, "Let me see your Bible." And so she handed him her Bible, and he thumbed through it, and I don't even remember I don't think I ever even heard the exact comment he made back. I don't know what it was, but afterwards she let us know that because of that she'd never come to that congregation again. Well, first of all, it may have been, not saying it may have been childish on her part, but hey, this is a stranger in a strange place, you know? Be gentle, be kind. I know of a man who, a very young Christian, in dealing with him, he was being taught and brought along very slowly, but not quick enough for this one person. And so he had some harsh words for him, and he quit attending. It happens. The first thing we're going to look at here is the verse that from 1 Thessalonians 2:7. Actually, I'm going to read that. Well, I'll read it right now and leave it up there for a little bit. Although we could have been a burden as Christ's apostles, instead we were gentle among you as a nurturing mother nurtures her own children. Looked at that verse this morning. Talk about it again here in just a second. But I want to make the point that as we're looking at the idea that Roman numerals that the Lord's servants must be gentle, everything we're going to look at here had to do with Paul, mostly Paul's writings. In an instance or two, it might have had to do with Paul's life, life himself. But anyway, he taught these Thessalonians this very point that we had up there. In fact, I'd like to go ahead and read the first eight verses of chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. We just had that verse 7 up there. We can get that back. Beginning with verse 1, For you yourselves know, brothers, that our visit with you was not without result. On the contrary, after we had previously suffered and we were treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, we were emboldened by our God to speak the gospel of God to you in spite of great opposition. 3, for our exhortation did not come from error or impurity or an intent to deceive. Instead, just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please men, but rather God, who examines our hearts. For we never use flattering speech, as you know, or had any greedy motives. God is our witness. Verse 6, and we didn't seek glory from people, either from you or from others. Although we could have been a burden as Christ's apostles, instead we were gentle among you as a nursing mother nurtures her own children. This was Paul's heartfelt view of being gentle and of how he dealt with, how he worked with people. And we would do good, if we're going to do good, that is, to others, we're going to have to copy this example also that Paul left for us. We must be willing to sacrifice ourselves, but not to sacrifice God's word. There's a fine line to walk, isn't it? We need to sacrifice ourselves, some of our ways, some of our speech, some of our mannerisms perhaps, but we cannot sacrifice God's word. Paul indicated that he would go to the Corinthians with gentleness. As we look at Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15, he said, I most gladly spend and be spent for you if you... And that's the next one we want. I got to go back to, 1 Corinthians 4. I didn't get to 1 Corinthians 4 yet. That's the next one after 1 Corinthians 4. But let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're just going to look... I'm not sure if it's on the chart or what the chart's out of. There you go. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And sometimes I rework these charts and they don't match the outline that I reworked them from. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 14 through 21. I am not writing this to shame you, but to warn you. And now, you have to keep in mind here what's been going on in this letter up to this point. Paul's talked in the very beginning of chapter 3 about the problem of immaturity. He's talked about the roles of God's servants in the next few verses there in chapter 3. He's talked about the folly of following and obeying human wisdom in verses 18 through the end of chapter 3. He's talked about these different things. And now he's talked about, and then he gave his own example of humility that we look at a little bit. But beginning there in verse 14, he says, I am not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. For you can have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but you cannot have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Therefore I urge you to imitate me. This is why I have sent Timothy to you. He is my dearly loved and faithful son in the Lord. He will remind you about the ways in Christ Jesus, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, some are inflated with pride, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills. And I will know not the talk, but the power of those who are inflated with pride. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. What do you want? Should I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? He's already been talking in this letter about those individuals who were so prideful that they were going to make their own way. I could say have their own way, but they were going to make their own way in the church there at Corinth, regardless of what others said or did. Paul also had problems with false teachers going around and saying, things such as, he talks real bold in his letters, but when he gets here, he doesn't say things like that. He deals with that as well. But we look here, and in this 2 Corinthians chapter 12 there in verse 15. I just had those reversed on the chart is what happened. But therein, as you can see, I will most gladly spend and be spent for you. I love you more. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? And he has that last sentence in there dealing with those individuals who were saying, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth, one way in letters and one way when he's with you. We know that was not true of Paul. He did not do that or would not do that. Also, in 2 Corinthians then. See, first Paul wrote that letter, that first letter to the Corinthians. Those brethren had more problems than a 101 paper hanger, as they say. And he just, I think Jesse tried hanging paper one time with his arm tied behind his back. Doesn't work well, see. But they just had problem upon problem, and he's dealing with them. And it's a rather stern letter. And you can see that as you read the letter. And then you get into 2 Corinthians and you start reading. It's a whole different tone. Paul is lighter, you might say. There are still some problems he's still dealing with a little bit in that letter. But in verse 1 there of chapter 10, now I, Paul, make a personal appeal to you by the gentleness and graciousness of Christ. I who am humble among you in person, but bold toward you when I'm absent. He wasn't all that way. Two things about that. One, it appeared a little bit that way in the first letter because of the problems they had. And secondly, because, as I've already mentioned, those individuals were saying that that's how he was. So as I say, his first letter indeed had been stern, and we know one of the places there is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, or chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. You probably need to enlarge that context there. In dealing with the individual who had his father's wife, who was with his father's wife, he dealt with that, and he dealt with it according to the scriptures. Excuse me. We also want to note Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9. This is how Paul, one of the ways that Paul governed his life. As we turn back to Galatians chapter 1, and we'll notice verses 8 through 9, and then we have some other verses listed there that we'll see in just a moment. Beginning in verse 8, though, of chapter 1. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel other than what we have preached to you, curse be upon him. As we have said before, I now say again, if anyone preaches to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, what you have received, a curse be on him. Well, that sounds pretty tough. I mean, you know. But Paul knew. Paul realized the importance of the fact that they had to remain close to or exact with God's word, which is he'd been preaching to them. He realized that there were individuals, false teachers coming in, trying to twist this, turn that, and change the other. He says, that can't be. That can't be. And then in chapter 2, as on the chart there, verses 11 through 14. Galatians 2, beginning verse 11. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. That's the only reason to oppose someone to their face, because they stand condemned. For he regularly ate with the Gentiles before certain men came from James. However, when they came, he withdrew and separated himself because he feared those of the circumcision party. 13, then the rest of the Jews joined in his hypocrisy, so that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were deviating from the truth of the gospel, I told Cephas in front of everyone, if you, who are a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel Gentiles to live like Jews? This is sort of speaking out of both sides of your mouth. Not Paul, but Cephas. This is playing it one way when you are with one group of people, playing it another way when you are with another group of people. And again, this doesn't sound very gentle to us, but Paul taught others to be gentle. Paul was gentle. He taught others also to be gentle. And let us go back to, see if the chart's right here. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I know that doesn't bother Brian when a couple of things he puts up on the chart, not what they're supposed to be. He just forges on, but I get a little leery there, you know, after I have a couple out of place or whatever. So we're going back, though, to 2 Timothy chapter 2, And we need to be strong in grace, Paul tells Timothy. But as we come on down to the 22nd verse, he also tells him, flee from youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the name of the Lord from a pure heart. But reject foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they breed quarrels. The Lord's slave must not quarrel, but be gentle to everyone, able to teach and patient, instructing his opponents with gentleness. Perhaps God will grant them repentance, leading them to knowledge, to the knowledge of the truth. 26, ending it, then they may come to their senses and escape the devil's trap, having been captured by him to do his will. Therefore, he says, therefore. So we need to make, therefore, we need to make certain that we're not engaged in these profitless discussions that can bring about quarrels. When these, through our patient bearing with others, they can be worked out. But again, not to please them or to excuse their sins, and not to water down God's word. We realize that elders and bishops and pastors are told to be gentle. Those are, I don't have to say this to this audience, but I'll say it anyway, maybe for the benefit of the recording, I don't know. But pastors and bishops and elders, those are all the same individual. We need to have a lesson on that sometime. But in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 and 3, an overseer therefore must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, self-controlled, sensible, respectable, hospitable, an able teacher, not addicted to wine, not a bully, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not greedy, but gentle, Paul wrote. In Philippians chapter 4, and I know this is a little different, but I know already, well, yes, I want to get to Galatians 5, 22, 23 in there. And because again, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith. 23, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Apostle Paul also wrote in, Apostle Paul also wrote in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5, he said, let your gentleness be known to all. It's not on your chart. That's Philippians 4, 5. Context would be 1 through 5 at least. Let your gentleness be known to all. When someone looks at you, I mean, doesn't just see you on the walking down the street, and the other side of the street, the sidewalk, look at, look over at you. But when they know you, they get to know you, they're around you some. Is this a gentle person? You know, is this a gentle person? What's this individual like? Titus chapter 3, the first two verses. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to slander no one, to avoid fighting, and to be kind, always showing gentleness to all people. It's a little bit like we talked about in our lesson this morning about rendering to Caesar what is Caesar's. About following God's will in that area. We can only do that up to the point where it would conflict or contradict God's will if we went on past that area. Now, there's only two Roman numerals tonight. I'm sure that makes everybody happy. But the second one is actually other scripture. All that we looked at there had to do with Paul, Apostle Paul, either saying about himself or writing to congregations. The other scriptures, there are other scriptures, though, that teach the importance of being gentle. And James reveals that wisdom of God is gentle. The wisdom of God is gentle. Here it comes. The wisdom of God is gentle in James chapter 3 and verses 13 through 18. First James has just told him, control your tongue. And then what's he say? This fits right in, doesn't it? Who is wise and has understanding among you? He should show his works by good conduct with wisdom's gentleness. But if you have bitter envy, selfish ambitions in your heart, don't brag and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, unscriptural, demonic. For where envy and strife and for where envy and selfish ambitions exist, there is disorder and every kind of evil. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without favoritism and hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace. Look at the different comments there on gentleness. Verse 13, verse 17, and on wisdom, and wisdom being a part of that, and wisdom, gentleness coming from God's wisdom. In verse 17, he said, In verse 17, the word gentle is the same word that we just saw a few moments ago in Titus chapter 3 and verse 2. Now, you get a bunch of translations out, and you look at those two verses, James chapter 3 and verse 17, and also Titus chapter 3 and verse 2, and the word gentle and malice will be interchanged there. He's talking about not having a heart of malice. But gentle, forbearing, making allowances for others, lenient toward others as to their duties toward us. Here's something we can be very lenient about, very gentle about. Christians all have duties to each other. Neighbors, no longer it seems like, but should have unwritten almost duties to each other. Even God's word talks about neighbors, not necessarily his children, but neighbors. And the government, just various areas of life. People who have duties to us, duties to you, duties to me. We can be gentle. To me, that's a pretty easy place to be gentle. Because no one needs to bow down to us. No one needs to cotton to our every little whim and so on. We can be gentle with that. Maybe they forget something that they were going to do for us or whatever. We can be gentle. We can still talk about it, but we can be gentle with that. An ungoverned tongue is the source of misery and ruin to the one who possesses that unknown tongue, and to others as well, very possibly. Meekness, I've mentioned meekness a few times this evening. Meekness is true wisdom. Meekness, true wisdom. And it will not speak boastfully. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. I like this one in the 1901 American Standard Version. That's just what it says. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. What does an apple tree do? Well, it grows, puts on blossoms. Yeah, what's it really? It brings apples. It produces apples. A peach tree, same thing, except it produces peaches. What's a tree of life do? It can produce life. It can bring about spiritual life. A gentle tongue can bring about spiritual life for an individual. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. A sound tongue. Some translations on this will use a healing tongue. But a sound tongue or a healing tongue, a tongue which imparts sound advice with gentleness, is the type of tongue that's being spoken of there in Proverbs 15 and verse 4. The individual who skillfully employs his tongue to give wholesome instruction. Now, when I say skillfully, I don't mean the great knowledge that he has, but how he uses the tongue to impart whatever knowledge he has, however great or small it may be. But that individual is being gentle. And it's very probable that he can help heal differences and make peace. By the way, I mentioned a little earlier a smaller town, southern, southeastern Illinois. Those two congregations existed forever and don't even hardly remember why. There's been a man working with those people for 30 years trying to do something with them. And he's a gentle man. Just because we are gentle and just because we try doesn't mean it's always going to happen, that it's always going to work out. Some people's their mind is made up and they don't want to be confused with the facts. Some have a lot of pride. Some for other reasons, I suppose. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, Leave not thy place, for gentleness allieth great offenses. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 4. And I also use the American Standard Version for that. Try again. Keep trying. Eventually, I suppose the sandals get quite dusty, and we might need to shake the dust off the sandals and move on, but we keep trying. Jesus can be gentle to us. He can be. Is this the right one? Matthew 11 and verse 29, Jesus said, "All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus is gentle and humble in heart, and we'll find rest for our souls. He can. Why do I stress that he can be? Because it's something we must do. We must take up the yoke. We must bear the burden of Christ. We must follow after him. Follow his word. We must do these things. So if you see, we are doing these things. Gentle. Can you imagine even with saying Jesus was a very austere person, very prideful person, very haughty person? It doesn't even ring, does it? That would repel others, especially outsiders. The individual, the preacher or whoever in a congregation that goes and meets a visitor at the door and makes a big splash about the fact that they are, you know, the preacher or an elder here or what, you know. That's all right to say it, you know. If you have any, here's my card. Do you have any questions, comments, please contact me. But not with that puffed out chest that makes that individual number one. That can turn people off right away. Don't you agree that all individuals, but right now we'll say Christians, all individuals, really I'm talking about, but all individuals, all Christians, need to be gentle as we deal with others, both in and out of the Lord's church. We come in contact with those who are not members of the body of Christ at all times. What's our best chance? Strike up, begin some sort of a relationship, friendship, if you want to call it something. Establish something with those individuals. That's where it starts. But as that progresses along a little bit, and all of a sudden you get really upset with that person, then what's our best chance? I started to say, ever been in an argument with anybody? But I guess everyone has on the face of the earth. It amazes me how when you're in I'll use the word argument. When you're in an argument with someone, and the longer the argument goes, the louder they get. Well, every time they take it up an octave, you take it down an octave. And finally, just ask them, what are you screaming about? What are you howling about? A lot of times people don't even realize that that's what they're doing. That it's a reflex action and they're doing it. Sometimes that can bring things back to a point where you can continue to discuss this. You know, we cannot expect others to be moved to believe what we believe if we're harsh and unkind to them. This is especially true with new Christians. But it's also true with other individuals attending a congregation, maybe for quite some time, and they're still not members. But someone gets harsh with them, someone makes an unkind remark to them, they're gone. Oh, not always. Have to give a lot of credit to those who do stay, you know, if they're not members and that happens. So, well, all I was doing was speaking the truth. I'm not saying that we should hide the truth, that we should not speak the truth, that we should not bring the truth out. But I am saying that there are different ways of doing that. This is the truth. Right here is the truth. And Jesse, if you don't get all this, I can just beat you over the head with it. How's that going to impress you? It's not. Boy, it's going to make an impression on it. But anyway, so it's how we do this, you see. That's what it's about. A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Gentle answer turns away anger. Well, I guess that's a little bit like I was talking about. Just don't get in the shouting match with him and then ask, what are you yelling about? The thing is, we all need to make decisions. And we make countless of decisions every day. Some of them are on autopilot. We don't even know it. Other decisions are more important. And we need to really think about what we do before we do it. That's a big help. Everyone here at some point made the decision to obey the gospel of the Lord. Well, now we need to make the decision today to continue to obey the gospel of the Lord. And we, by the way, we make that decision many times every day also. Because at any time we can just get off the rails and go our own direction, and that's not going to work. So as we think about this today, we need to think about the fact that we do sin. We're not perfect. That should be the goal every day when we get up. I'm not going to sin today. John also said that I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. In the next breath he said, but if you sin, here's what to do about it. And so we need to think about that also and look at our own life and look at our sins and be honest with ourselves as to whether or not we have any unrepented of sins in our life. And if we do, then we need to take care of those. We need to repent of those and ask God to forgive us of them. John tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 that if we do that, God's going to cleanse us of our sins and of all unrighteousness. If these sins have been of a public nature some way, or if we've offended a brother or sister, we need to talk to that brother or sister, or if it's just general knowledge, just to those who have been offended by anything that we have done. That's our lesson for this evening. We encourage you to stop and